made. Paid the price for their sins on the old cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace.
This is the Back to Calvary program with Reverend Wayne Guy. Address all mail concerning this program to Reverend Wayne Guy, 1902 South Main Street, Mount Airy, Maryland, 21771. Now, the Back to Calvary program. If you would like a cassette of today's program, send a gift of $3 to help support this program, giving date and call letters of this radio station.
When life burdens overtake us, rest we cannot afford. When all others forsake us, there is strength in the Lord.
Hello, before I begin the message today, once again, I want to mention a special offer concerning some cassette tapes. Recently, we have just finished preaching two series of messages dealing with the second coming of Jesus Christ. The first series has to do with the rapture, which is the first phase of His second coming. And in this series, we deal thoroughly and in detail with the subject of the rapture. The second series has to do with the revelation, which is the second phase of His second coming. And in this series, we deal with the subject of the revelation. Now, the first series involving the rapture consists of 15 separate messages recorded on 8 cassette tapes, while the second series involving the revelation consists of 13 separate messages recorded on 7 cassette tapes. And at this time, we're offering each of these series separately for a gift of $12 each. Or you can obtain both of these series for a gift of only $20. We're offering both the rapture and the revelation. We're offering each of these series separately for a gift of $12 each, or both of these series together for only $20. And if you want one or both of these series, just write us at the address given at the end of the broadcast requesting what series that you desire. And the money that you send for these tapes will be used entirely for the purchasing of radio time and the preaching of the Word of God. We'll be expecting your letter soon. Today, we're going to be reading, once again, from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, that being verses 10 through 17. And here in this passage, the Word of God says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Heavenly Father, as we bring this message today, I pray for every believer that's listening to this broadcast. I pray that you'll strengthen every believer in the inner man. And Lord, at the same time, we pray that you'll save that soul that is nearest hell without Christ. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, we want to bring the second part of the message entitled, "Will you be able to stand in the hour of battle?" But before that we proceed, there are some things that we need to say by way of review to bring us up to the place where we left off on the broadcast last week. Now, in the various chapters that make up the book of Ephesians, Paul deals with the believer in a little bit different way. In Ephesians chapter number 1, we have the believer's wealth. In chapters 2 and 3, we have the believer's work. In chapters 4 and 5, we have the believer's walk. Then in chapter 6, we have the believer's warfare. And here in Ephesians chapter 6, with verses 10 through 20, we have two things mentioned in connection with the believer's warfare. First, we have the encounter in verses 10 through 13. Second, we have the equipment in verses 14 through 20. Now here in verse number 10, Paul uses the word "finally." He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Now this word "finally" here tells us that Paul had reached his closing exhortation. And here in this passage, Paul reminds these believers at Ephesus. He reminds them of the solemn condition under which the believer's life is lived. My friend, the believer's life is lived on the battlefield. And this is what Paul makes very clear here in this closing chapter of the book of Ephesians. In closing this lofty epistle, Paul condescends to a battlefield. Here in chapter 6, we have a call to arms. That's what we find. And the reason that Paul condescends to a battlefield in closing this lofty epistle is because the believer's life is lived on a battlefield. My friend, the believer is a soldier in a warfare, in a foreign country, yea, in enemy territory. Yes, on enemy ground. And I say enemy ground because the believer is in the world, but the believer is not of the world. So we find that the believer is a soldier in a warfare, in a foreign country, even on enemy ground. Now, my friend, the believer isn't meant to have a life of religious ease here in this world. And the policy of non-interference has no place in the believer's life when it comes to this matter of the believer's warfare. The policy of non-interference has no place in the believer's life who is a soldier in God Almighty's army. My friend, for the believer to sit back and not fight the good fight of faith is to be at peace with the devil. And this is wrong in God's sight. Now, there's no fat in many so-called preachers today. There's no fat in many pew warmers and pew perchers today. My friend, in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. That's what Paul told Timothy. And my friend, every believer has received induction papers in the God Almighty's army. Most certainly you have if you've been saved by the grace of God. When a person is saved by the grace of God, God places that person into His army. Most certainly He does. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, Paul told Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Then we find in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 that Paul told Timothy to endure affliction. And my friend, Paul did not tell Timothy to do something that he hadn't done. And we know this is so because of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Now here in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we have the last words of the Apostle Paul to this young preacher by the name of Timothy. Now let me say this. Years ago, General Douglas MacArthur made headlines when he made the statement and said, "Old soldiers never die. They just fade away." Now right here in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we have an old soldier of the cross by the name of Paul. And Paul realized that soldiers in God's army don't fade away. He realized this. My friend, Paul realized that when a soldier of the cross, or in other words, a saint of God, when a soldier of the cross departs this world, my friend, they leave this earthly scene for a heavenly scene. God's soldier don't fade away. And here in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we find that this old soldier of the cross, he speaks about three things. Number one, he speaks about compassion for the fallen. Then we find second, he speaks about contention for the faith. And then third, he speaks about conviction for the fight. And right here, Paul says, "I have fought a good fight." What was Paul saying? Paul was saying, "I have fought a good fight as a soldier of Jesus Christ." That's what he was saying. Paul was saying, "I've not been a deserter. I've not been a shirker. I've not been a slacker." Paul says, "I've been a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I have fought a good fight." That's what he says here in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Now listen, my friend. Many professing Christians today like everything but the word fight. Many preachers today like everything but the word fight. A lot of preachers today, they're awful quick to use the words, "Let's join up." A lot of preachers today, they're awful quick to use the words, "Let's get together." But my friend, also a lot of preachers today, they will absolutely not use the words, Let's fight! You know why? Because they have no conviction for the fight. Paul is a man that had conviction for the fight! Many preachers today don't have his. My friend, it was recently brought to my attention that in one of the large, well-known denominations today, the average stay of a pastor at any local church is less than 2.5 years. Less than 2.5 years! Now listen to me, my friend. Why are so many preachers church hopping today? I'll tell you why. No conviction for the fight! That's why. My friend, the first time that the least bit of opposition arises, they turn into resignation. They flee instead of fight! And this ought not to be. Recently I heard a pastor, which lives in the South, telling about letters that he received in the mail from other preachers located up north. And he said that some of these letters would read like follows. Dear Brother Pastor, my mother-in-law stays with my wife and I, and she suffers from sinus trouble in the severe winters of the north. If you know of a good, thriving, evangelistic church that would be interested in having me come and candidate as a future pastor, one in which there is no trouble or difficulty of any kind, and provides the proper benefits, I would appreciate it if you would put my name before that pulpit committee. I feel that God would be pleased for me to serve in the South where the weather is warmer and my mother-in-law would have better health. Now listen at me, my friend. Listen. Are you listening? Any individual that would write that letter is not concerned. They're not concerned about fighting the good fight of faith. Saints in days gone by were made of sterner stuff than this. Isaac Watts, who was one of the well-known hymn writers in the days gone by, he wrote a song, and in the song he said, "Must I be carried through the skies on fiery beds of ease, while others fall to win the prize and sail through bloody seas?" My friend, saints in the days gone by knew what it meant to live a life of sacrifice. Saints in the days gone by knew what it meant to fight the good fight of faith. But what about today? Where are their kind today? Now don't get me wrong. I well realize that there is still yet some good godly men that God has that will step in the pulpit and in the power of God without fear or favor declare, thus saith the Lord. But my friend, what I am saying is this. The majority of preachers today, they're more concerned about the crowd than they are the Christ. They're more concerned about soup suppers than they are salvation. And they're more concerned about being popular than they are powerful preaching and pleasing God. Most certainly that's so. My friend, the Christian is to be walking, witnessing, working, and also warring. Because the believer is a soldier in God Almighty's army. Most certainly they are. Now here, in Ephesians chapter number 5, and verse number 33, Paul speaks about the wife. Then in chapter 6, in verse 1, Paul speaks about the children. Then in chapter 6, in verse 4, Paul speaks about the fathers. Then in chapter 6 and verse number 5, Paul speaks about the servants. And then in chapter 6 and verse number 9, Paul speaks about the masters. Then when we come to verse number 10, Paul uses the word brethren. Here in verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren! My brethren! Now, my friend, many times the word brethren is used in the Word of God referring only to men. But there are other times also that this word is used in the Word of God as a generic term referring to both men and women. And that is how it is used here in verse number 10 of Ephesians chapter number 6. The word brethren, as it is used in verse number 10 in this passage of Scripture, is an all-inclusive term. It's referring to all that are in Christ. Now this word brethren here in verse number 10, this word is associated with the word womb. W-O-M-B. And right here, as this word is used in verse number 10, it is referring to those that have been born again of the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. According to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23. So here in verse number 10, Paul says, finally, my brethren, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, what's Paul saying here? Paul is saying, muster strength for the fight. My friend, the believer must seek strength from the only source from which we can obtain it, and that is the Lord. Now, here in verse number 10, Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now in the Word of God, there are three stages of spiritual growth. And all three of these are mentioned in 1 John chapter 2, in verses 12 through 14. In that passage of Scripture, John speaks about the little children, and he speaks about the young men, and he speaks about the fathers. Now this is the three stages of spiritual growth that is spoken of in the pages of the Word of God. Now listen, my friend, God expects a believer to grow spiritually. Most certainly He does. This is what we find in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. For in that passage of Scripture, the Word of God says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My friend, God expects the believer to experience spiritual growth. Most certainly He does. Now listen. A person is only young once, but a person can remain immature all the days of their life here upon this earth. Did you hear what I just said? A person is only young once, but a person can remain immature all the days of their life here upon this earth. My friends, some folks always smell of bread and butter because they never grow up. They never grow up. And my friend, it's sad to see a person like this in the physical realm. And it's sadder still to see one like this in the spiritual realm. God expects a believer to grow up. Now my friend, some people have been saved for 2 years, but they have the spiritual maturity of a 20-year-old. But at the same time, some people have been saved for 20 years, and they have the spiritual maturity of a 2-year-old. And this is exactly the reason that God does not deal with His children just alike. Most certainly He does it. God deals with His children according to their stage in spiritual growth. Listen, Paris, I know that you do not deal with your 5-year-old like you do your 15-year-old. You shouldn't anyway. And my friend, God doesn't either. He deals with His children according to their stage in spiritual growth. Paul here in verse number 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. My friend, today, there are too many spiritual dwarfs and pygmies and invalids. Most certainly there is. When a person is saved by the grace of God, they are a babe in Christ. And God Almighty expects that babe in Christ to experience spiritual growth and grow up. Most certainly He does. Now that's as far as we're going today with the message entitled, Will You Be Able to Stand in the Hour of Battle? Listen to the broadcast next week and we'll bring to you the third part of this message, if God allows. My friend, if you're a Christian, you're a soldier in God Almighty's army, and you need the strength and power of God. And you need right now to look to the captain, which is none other than Jesus Christ, and allow Him to strengthen you in the inner man. And then if you're listening to this broadcast and never been saved by the grace of God, my friend, you're lost and on your way to hell. You need to be saved right now. I'd ask you to bow your head and from your heart, exercise faith in the finished work and in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Call upon God and ask Him to save you. And He will, and you'll know it. Thank you.